WHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.
The attack in Manchester this morning is absolutely shocking.
Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer after police say two people were killed, three critically injured, when an attacker drove into a crowd of people outside a Jewish temple in Manchester. CBS's Vicky Barker from London.
Eyewitnesses say a car sped towards the synagogue where dozens of people were standing outside on this Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. It appears the driver got out and began stabbing people. Armed police were there in minutes and gunned the suspect down.
Police believe that suspect is dead, but they haven't immediately confirmed it. Bomb experts are investigating whether he had an explosive device. Prime Minister Starmer.
Additional police assets are being deployed to synagogues across the country.
King Charles says he is deeply shocked and saddened over what he calls a horrific attack on such a significant day for the Jewish community. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Starting on October 1st, Wisconsin households won't have to pay sales tax on their electricity and natural gas bills. The elimination of the 5% sales tax on residential utility bills is projected to save Wisconsin households more than $178 million over the next 2 years. No action is needed from residents to qualify for this change. Sales tax is being automatically removed from all household energy bills due to this bipartisan exemption included in the 2025-27 state budget. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to share their passion for the sport with the next generation during this year's Youth Deer Hunt. The annual event will be held on October 11th and 12th. Hunters ages 15 years and younger have a chance to learn hunting techniques in a less crowded environment than the traditional 9-day gun deer hunt season. Youth hunters will be eligible to hunt under a mentor's supervision. Mentors must be at least 18 years old, have a current license, and have completed a hunter education course. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher has proclaimed October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month in the city. Communities across the nation are joining together to raise awareness and support survivors of domestic violence. As part of the city's observance, the Jackson Street and Grand Avenue bridges will be lit purple from October 1st to the 14th, serving as a visible reminder of the importance of breaking the silence and supporting victims and their families. The Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge is holding a special bingo event this Saturday, October 4th. Doors open at 10:30 and bingo starts at noon. You can purchase a $5 ticket to reserve your spot. The lodge is open on Wednesdays and Friday nights. The $5 ticket can be used toward the purchase of food on the day of the event. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
More green for green. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks training camp is underway. General manager John Horst was asked if he would confirm they're working on a new contract extension for AJ Green.
First of all, yes, he's extension eligible. He is all season. Had a lot of conversations with AJ and his agent. Good conversations. We'd love to have AJ with us, you know, for a long time. And we're able to work on that. We are working on that. No one works harder than AJ. High, high character individual. But I think he's really worked to earn that opportunity to be a high-level rotation guy for us. And, yeah, we're having the conversations, and I hope we're able to figure something out.
NFL, the Packers' bye week continues. Matt LaFleur asked if he thinks he'll have left guard Aaron Banks or right tackle Zach Tom back from injuries when they host the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
We'll see. I don't know. I think it's still, we're a ways out from that, so we'll have a better indication, I would say, Monday.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This sunny, warm, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days, but we will feel a lot more like fall by next week. Today, though, sunny, high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the endless wheel of litigation. Which Trump-related case are we going to talk about? Jim Santel, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
Doing this again, this
now,
is cool.
Now, live from Music City in Midtown Nashville, the guy that keeps interrupting me while I'm doing this,
I know,
here
Sarge.
Is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's me. All right. Good morning and welcome back. Nice to have you here on this Thursday morning, October 2nd. Yes, on the road for the rest of this week and part of next week, which would explain the the bad lighting and the orange complexion. But, you know, hotel lighting is what it is. So thank you, Parker. Parker Olson producing things for us. I usually say down in Madison. I guess I have to say up in Madison.
Up and over. Yeah.
Yeah. Up and over. I mean, look, it's not Wausau, you know, but Chad Holmes has that nailed down for us and joins us now to tell us about stories that he's following. Joseph Pecky is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Sean O'Malley is off today, as is Todd Alba. So it's Chad here and then it's Joe later. And Chad, it's nice to have you along. Are we at the point of the season now where I kind of have to do a personal check in, like, you know, all the football that you're covering and everything else? You doing okay?
I'm doing fine. It's actually the winter where I'm going to be sort of, you know, not knowing where I am or what time it is or what day it is. But this week I've been a little bit, for the first time in many months, caught a little something. Nothing terrible. But it just stinks when you do that. It just makes it harder throughout the course of the week, you know. And I'm glad I've had it. You know, it started like early in the week, and my hope is by the time that we do our games, I have one Friday night and then Saturday afternoon, that it'll be gone. So it's like, I don't know why, because it's been, you know, 80 degrees all the time. I say, why am I getting anything?
Oh, you know, it's the start of the school year, and you know, kids start to get together again in those little petri dishes of schools.
Oh, I know.
And it eventually works its way around and gets to people. I've got, you know, I'm very fortunate that I don't get, for example, seasonal allergies. Sherry, on the other hand, gets terrible seasonal allergies every spring. And yesterday, I forget who I was talking to, but they were especially susceptible to ragweed. And I guess people who have fall allergies, like to ragweed, they're not having the best week ever right now either. And it just comes with the seasons.
Yes, it does.
Whether it's the blooming stuff or the ragweed or whatever it is, the little urchins are spreading around when they're touching all the doorknobs and things like that. So hopefully you get to feeling better soon. How would you characterize the high school football season that you've been covering so far? Fairly typical. Any surprises out there?
Well, here in central Wisconsin, and last night, actually, we do our high school sports show, and we're talking about the fact that this year's been as interesting as one as we've had in a while, in terms of a few teams that usually are down have moved their way up, and the competitiveness in the conferences that we keep an eye on has been really, really good. Over the last number of years, it feels like the gaps have been kind of widening in some areas where we have so many blowouts. And this year, it's been a lot of fun seeing some of the teams that had struggled working their way into position for playoffs and maybe even conference championships. And just a lot of fun. I mean, the games I did last week were both fantastic. Both were, I would call, upsets, and both were for the teams that we cover. So you love that, where you get these these feelings at the end of a game where, man, hey, we didn't expect this, and it's so much fun, and we're fighting and having a lot of fun. So it's actually been really interesting. It's not been what you call chalk, you know, in terms of right. what you expect. NCAA tournament time, you have chalk. It's like everybody, mm-hmm. the higher seed always wins. No, it's not been that way. And that's one of the and the old saying, it's why they play the games.
That's
you know,
right.
we talk about it. It's like with the baseball playoffs. I mean, it's like all these we got a number of game threes coming up. It's fun. It's the way you like to do it.
Yeah. The opposite of chalk, of course, is parity. And when you've got, you know, very evenly matched teams all the time, well, you know, that's fine. You don't get the dynasties, you know, that some places are. And, you know, we're kind of seeing that in the baseball playoffs at this point as well. I see the Cubs and Padres series is tied at a game apiece, so they will decide this afternoon which team will advance to play the Brewers this weekend. I don't know if you've caught any of that or if you have any feelings about facing the Padres versus the Cubs.
I'm nervous either way, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. It's one of those things where the Brewers so overachieved this year. I mean, what they did is just amazing, to be honest with you. And I told some folks that, man, don't you wish this was the year? Because for most of baseball history, the Milwaukee Brewers would already be in the World Series. Because from when the World Series started in 1903 until mm-hmm. 1968, it was one team for the American League, one team for the National League. Whoever had the most wins in the league, they were in the World Series. And then from 1969 to 1993, actually, it was where they had two divisions. And then, right. you know, you had one series and then the World Series. And nowadays, it's you got to win all these multiple series.
And now it's a wild card round, too.
So let's go back to the old days when it was one team in the National League and one team in the American League.
Yeah.
And the Brewers would be in the World Series.
Yeah. One round of playoffs.
Toronto Blue Jays. What a series that would be.
Yeah. The TV networks.
That'd be awesome.
The TV networks are all over this. They love the idea of having fewer playoff games and less revenue.
Of course.
Absolutely. So we know who's making the
decisions. I'm an old geezer yelling at the clouds again. That's my role here every week.
I understand.
But if, the clouds.
But if we're going to have this, if we're going to have the system, I will say this much. The three-game series for the wild card, so much better than the one-game, you know, winner-take-all wild card thing. That was – I did not like that at all.
No, and I agree with that. Only thing that I feel for is the team's fans that don't get a playoff game at home. Because it's like if you don't get at least one playoff game at home – in baseball or basketball or hockey or those, because it's different than football because right. these are series. But the only thing is, it feels like you're not in the playoffs at all if you don't get a chance, that opportunity to go there in person and cheer on your team. But I think in terms of the way that baseball is, the one and done, yes, it has that mm-hmm. quality of, you know, winner take all, but it's very unbaseball like. Baseball is meant for a series.
Yes, it is. We're talking to Chad Holmes here, who's in Wausau and therefore in the heart of the 7th Congressional District.
Darn right.
Where yesterday, former State Assembly Rep Fred Clark announced on our program that he is running for Congress on the Democratic side. He was a Democratic state rep from the Baraboo area for a number of years and then relocated a few years back to the Bayfield area and has now decided to throw his hat into the ring into what is going to be an open race now with Tom Tiffany running for governor. And my question to you, Chad, mostly for the rest of the audience listening around the state, is to talk about the challenge of running for Congress in the 7th District and covering these folks, because, I mean, it is one of, if not the largest congressional district east of the Mississippi. And again, I know all this from experience, but from you as a journalist covering this, mm-hmm. you understand just this is not like those little, you know, let's say the 4th District in Milwaukee, which is right. pretty much the city of Milwaukee. You got to put some more gas in the tank if you want to represent northern Wisconsin.
Well, and it's really up and down the line in terms of the folks that try to get folks elected. In fact, this right before I joined you, I had Nancy Stencil with me. We were talking about your breaking news yesterday, and she says, I'm so glad it was finally announced, because she kind of knew about this because she sure. has her hand on the pulse of what's going on with the 7th District. But you're exactly right. I mean, for folks like her who are working to try to elect Democrats in this district, you mentioned, you know, the sports that I do. Sometimes I have to go up to Superior to cover a game, and I think, boy, that's a long trek. Well, that's basically part of the that's part of the same district. I mean, if you want to run for office, you have to come here to Wausau. You have to go up to Superior. You have to go to Hayward. You have to go all over the place in terms of trying to reach out and connect. And it also means that if you're known maybe here in the Wausau area, you're not going to be known in some different areas of the state as well. You have to get out there. You have to talk to people. You have to be able to, you know, spread the word on what you believe and the such. It is. I mean, there are many, many states that are not as big as what the 7th mm-hmm. Congressional District is. And the challenge and what you have to put into it. I mean, over the years, I'm sure that you did it yourself. You talk to folks and about the number of miles you put on your vehicle just to be able to travel around and talk to folks. It is such a hard job. And it's also really hard to establish yourself. I mean, fortunately for somebody like yourself who had that base where people kind of knew you from your work at Channel 13 and the such, for other people, boy, the challenge is immense. And it's also immense for folks that try to cover them, whether in this part of the state or different parts of the state as well. It makes for a challenging situation. And sometimes we talk about maybe the campaigns being too long. In the case of this, I think the time is needed for somebody to spread the word on what they believe in and to reach the voters and to get their attention and to hopefully be able to make an impact where they can say, hey, that's somebody we would like to have represent us, or that's somebody we don't want to have represent us. So, you know, the 7th is a huge challenge for somebody that does not have a lot of money to spread around and buy a lot of advertising and the such.
And by the to raise the funds to do that, to run for Congress in any district, of course, means you're on the phone a lot doing fundraising calls and reaching out to potential donors. And I think what pretty much every campaign in a district like the 7th starts with one mindset and then reality hits. The mindset is, okay, well, we've got this 2-hour drive to Superior, you know, or we've got this 3-hour drive, you know, over to the eastern part of the district. But you know what? During those 2 or 3 hours in the car, you can just make a bunch of fundraising phone calls. I mean, you're a hostage. Your campaign manager is just there with a clipboard saying, okay, now this call. And then the reality is that there's nothing worse than calling somebody and you want to ask them for money, and then the call gets dropped. And then you maybe try a little bit later when you get through that wooded area or you get over that hill and the call gets dropped again. And so really, it's not nearly as productive as a candidate and their staff think it's going to be. So, I mean, again, no, I'm not expecting, you know, pity points for any politician who runs for office. But it's that you think that you're using a disadvantage to an advantage, but without the infrastructure, it's just not really there. So
yeah, and I agree with you 100%. But one thing about this race now that's very interesting with Tiffany running for governor is the fact that it is an open seat. And I will add as well the national landscape here. That's
yes.
A very unpopular administration right now. I think a very unpopular political viewpoint that is MAGA, and that the combination maybe of losing that name recognition that a guy like Tom Tiffany had, and also the national political winds that maybe are going against the right wing of the Republican Party that so often is in control here in the 7th Congressional District. I'm not saying it's not going to be a very difficult race for any Democrat in the 7th, but listening to Fred, hearing what Nancy had to say about Fred as well, that maybe there's a chance to gain a little bit of traction, to get people that otherwise wouldn't listen to you an opportunity to listen to you, and maybe it's going to take a huge tsunami of a change because of the gap that's been in this district recently. But maybe there's an opportunity for people to listen a little bit more and maybe open themselves up to different ideas that they haven't in recent years since Dave Obey retired.
No, but I mean, you do have those wave elections. 2006, when I was elected to the legislature, was one of them where districts flipped that hadn't flipped for, you know, decades upon decades. And we've seen that in other swing years as well. And I don't doubt for a moment that given the current stewardship of the economy and now a protracted government shutdown looming out there, that a whole lot of people would look at the opportunity to make a change at least once. And in 2026, that might be the chance for voters to make that kind of a statement. If you want to hear more from Chad, listen to him on the Civic Media app. Just call up 98.9 WXCO out of Wausau and give a listen. Chad, thank you very much. Good to visit.
You too, Pat.
All right. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Joe Zepecki about some of the political headlines of the week. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, friends. It's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods. We'll be having our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale going on Friday, October 3rd, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 910 West Grand Ave in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll have samples and product experts answering your questions. Don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with purchase. Join us Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th for our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale.
Working with nature since 1946.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Yeah, it's a legacy just on its own, important, all the things you said, sir. The fact that it is a female officer that we're talking about here, you know, can't be kind of taken lightly, and I know you don't or anything, but just to note it one more time, not because it really matters necessarily to the scheme of things, I think, especially for you as officers and everything, the way you look at each other and all that, but to young people out there, and especially young women out there, and understanding that this is an industry that, you know, you can flourish and you can do good in and stuff, and we need good individuals in, and explaining that. She saw angles on it I did not see in the interview, sure. And I really appreciated it, and really appreciated the time from Sarah.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy that she had the opportunity to come and you let her be on the show.
We got some good events coming up in the area. Did you want to get into those?
Yeah, we've got you know, our K-9 unit. As we always talk about the K-9 unit, you know, we're so lucky to have the community support. Tonight, we have the Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis meeting in. They already recognized this once, but there was an anonymous donor that wanted to match all the donations they did to many, many community projects or groups. And we, again, were selected for that off of a golf outing. And then somebody wanted to anonymously match all those donations. So we're going to their meeting tonight to hang out with them. And they're going to recognize us with another donation, which is really cool. You know, it's... every year, you know, I'm just astonished by the support for not just the K-9 unit, but, you know, our special response team, this fitness equipment for the new facility. We're really blessed to have the amount of support that we do. So that'll be tonight. You know, we had to reach out from the youth football program, the Raptors. They, throughout the season, have been fundraising for Wisconsin Rapids Police Department and the Sheriff's Department's K-9 unit. So on the 11th is their last game they get to play at the big stadium, and we'll be there with some of our K-9s, and then they want to present us a check later, too, on the donations that they have been collecting throughout the season. So, again, they thought of us. and reached out. So, you know, another really, really awesome thing that, you know, the community, and you know how I feel about football.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is kind of a cool thing. So big shout out to Sean Klingforth for, you know, reaching out and other people in the community, you know, from parents that are supporting their kids playing football. And again, thinking of us to donate to. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing for, we've got bingo night coming up on October 9th at the Elks Lodge. It starts at 5:30 p.m. We'll do at least 10 rounds of bingo. Something that, you know, we've done golf outings that were really awesome, great people organizing those that event. And then we thought, okay, let's try something different. So we're going to do bingo night. $20 suggested donation when you get at the door. And then we'll have 50-50 raffles. And then bingo cards will cost $2. And like I said, we'll do at least 10 games. And, you know, food will be provided. Mm-hmm. So we'll have many of our canine units there as well. So please push that out and hope to see as many people as we can for that event.
4 to 9 on October 9th over at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge. Just had Tom and the gang in from the Elks Lodge just a little bit ago on the morning show. We were talking about their Super Bingo event and some of the other fun things they got lined up. Appreciate our great friends at the Elks Lodge. Support the things they got going on over there. Keep in mind, every Wednesday, got bingo over there. Mm-hmm. Get there early. It is. I drive past there every Wednesday night, just jam-packed, man. Every Wednesday night, they got their busy over there. Should be sure to check that out, everyone.
Yeah. So,
did you have anything else you wanted to touch on?
Shout out for Mike Weiberg. Representative Scott Crew had reached out, and every year does First Responder of the Year. And so I thought, you know, this is a good way to recognize Mike. He's our rescue director, donates a lot of time. We've had him on the show before. And I thought, well, you know, we were at a crash recently, and he got there, and people were trapped in the car, and he's just a machine, boom, right on it, knows what to do, you know, and gets people out and gets them to, you know, gets them out safely, and so that, you know, they can get some medical attention immediately. And, you know, just with that, and then, you know, 25 plus years giving back the community, I felt, you know, I'd nominate him. And thankfully, the office, Scott Krug's office, selected him. So this coming up, I believe it's October 14th, he'll be down at the Capitol being recognized. So something just well-deserved for Mike. And thank you to Representative Krug for, number one, having the opportunity to recognize somebody, and number two, for selecting Mike. Yeah, other than that, something going on right now, shout out to Marshfield Clinic. We're doing a mock crash up at Pittsville High School right now. It's going on. You'll see that pop-ups, you know, periodically at our high schools. And thank you to the clinic for pushing that through. Those aren't easy events to organize with so many different first responders coming there. And how the mock crash works, it's like the end result of a crash. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have all your emergency services working together as they, you know, if whether it's a very serious injury, fatality, you know, they're going through what that impact is on the whole entire school. So thank you to the Marshfield Clinic for pushing that through. We've got many of our staff out there right now working on that. But then probably the last thing to bring up, you know, it's basically official. We have a school resource officer up in Auburndale. You know, the partnership that we have been talking about for several, probably years and months, but this happened. You know, Jesse Nels, one of our deputies, was selected for that spot. So he will be our school resource officer for the village of Auburndale, or the school district of Auburndale.
For those that may not know, what kind of work will he be doing? What will he be in charge of and doing there?
You know, a lot of planning, safety events, you know, being at the school, dealing with any, you know, issues that come up within the school. You know, whether it could be, you know, policy issues or law enforcement issues. Great partnership that you look at, and I'm very proud that Auburndale, you know, wanted to do this, you know, because that's a pretty big school district, and it's all rural, and we are completely responsible for it. You know, without Jesse, and we were still spending as much time as we could during the day, during the school year. But, you know, it'd been nice just to have somebody there on staff.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 27th annual Nakusa Giant Pumpkin Fest is this weekend at Riverside Park. Garden growing enthusiasts from all over will bring pumpkins and other large fruits and vegetables for the weigh-off on Saturday, October 4th.
Not just pumpkins, but then we have the field pumpkins, and then we have the tomatoes, and we have the watermelons, and we have the long gourds. So it's not limited to just giant pumpkins. We can do basically whatever. We even have like a category, a miscellaneous category, where you're not really sure what it is, but you can bring it down anyway. So, and we'll measure it, and we'll weigh it, and we'll figure it out.
That's Heather Sayers. She's the vice president of the Nakusa Giant Pumpkin Fest board and has helped with the event for many years.
It's a serious competition.
This year, the local weigh-off is a Great Pumpkin Commonwealth-sanctioned event, and the top prizes can bring in a lot of money. The dedication and hard work of these growers is something Sayers admires.
They're huge. I mean, it takes a lot to grow these pumpkins. I mean, like, people out there with umbrellas, and one of our committee members is growing his own, and he's out there with a heater when it gets cold at night, and he's got a blanket, and they've got shade.
It also takes a lot of dedication and support from the community.
So our sponsors, we would not be able to do it without them because, you know, it costs a lot of money.
The giant pumpkin drop at the end of each festival day gives anyone a chance to grab a giant pumpkin seed. Sarah said last year a young lady entered a pumpkin and won in the junior division from a seed dropped the previous year.
But it was quite the story because she got the seed from the drop and grew her own pumpkin.
The Nakusa Giant Pumpkin Fest is October 4th from 9 to 5 and October 5th from 9 to 4. The pumpkin drop happens at the end of each day. You can find more information and pricing at NakusaGiantPumpkinFest.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After his recent suspension and then being put back on the air within a week, Jimmy Kimmel gave an emotional and hilarious monologue upon his return to Jimmy Kimmel Live. Not only was it highly rated on TV, Kimmel's monologue set a record on YouTube. The host's opening segment reached almost 18 million views on YouTube within 22 hours of being posted, making it the most watched monologue in the history of YouTube, according to Variety. A Wheel of Fortune contestant from Connecticut has won the biggest jackpot in the show's history at a little over $1 million. Christina Derevyanik told Ryan Seacrest that if she won the $1 million, she would put in her 2 weeks' notice at work, at which point Seacrest reminded her boss was in the crowd. Derevyanik said she is going to pay off her student loans and buy a house with the money. She also won trips to Japan and Montana before winning $1 million. In addition to all that, she received a hug from the iconic Vanna White. You cannot put a price tag on that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
This sunny, warm, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days, but we will feel a lot more like fall by next week. Today, though, sunny, high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, no, we can't read them out of poker face. Deep cuts, the way it goes when you're a part of it, and some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney.
It's on.
And save. Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date, and my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right, welcome back. Pat Kreitlow here, live in Nashville as I do a little traveling this week. And Joe Zepecki joining us from back in Wisconsin. And I have to make sure I offer the proper disclaimer that I am doing this show without any coffee yet. Because, Joe, you've traveled your fair share. And this is a pretty nice hotel that I'm in. And there's no coffee maker in the room. And, of course, I didn't get here till almost midnight last night. So thank goodness there's like this little mini bar where you get like this little mini bottle of Coca-Cola, which probably set me back $8 or something like that. But there's no coffee maker up here. Who does that? Honestly, I mean, I've seen places with the Keurigs and the Nespressos. They're trying to make these coffee makers fancier all the time, but no coffee maker? What kind of savages run this place?
I don't know, Pat. Blink twice if you're being held captive and you need to send a message to us. The lobby can't be that far away. I've been to Nashville. The hotels aren't that large.
No, but there are these commercial breaks that only last so long. So needless to say, I am 24 minutes away from sprinting toward that first cup of coffee. So apologies if I'm not sounding as caffeinated as I would like. Joe, let's talk about some of the races that have developed here over, since our last visit. Yesterday, of course, Fred Clark broke the news on our program that he's running for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. We talked to Chad Holmes in our last half hour about, the challenge of running in such an expansive district. It helps if you have some kind of experience and or name ID. And Fred Clark has both of those things from his time in the state assembly, the Council on Tourism, the Council on Forestry, the State Natural Resources Board for a time. So this is not some amateur who's trying to run in a very large northern Wisconsin district.
No, I think this is the most serious candidate Democrats have fielded since a young man by the name of Pat Kreitlow. And that's
him.
No knock against any of the folks who worked really, really hard in the last few election cycles over the last 12 or 13 years. But the takeaway here is, for today, is like, be inspired by someone like Fred Clark. Fred Clark, who is not a particularly young man and would admit that himself.
66, that's right.
Right? This is someone who has served his community, who has served the state, and is signing up to run in one of the largest congressional districts by geography in this country that isn't an entire state. Mm-hmm. And he's earned his retirement. And we all know, anybody who knows Fred knows that he is as happy as can be just out, on a lake or, hunting in the fall or winter. And he's saying what so many people have recognized. What is happening is wrong. This is not who we are, and it's getting worse, not better. And I'll be damned if I'm not going to offer myself up to go back to public service and try to arrest the trajectory that the United States is on. And so Fred Clark's not doing this for glory.
No.
There are candidates across the state and across the country who are running in districts even tougher than Wisconsin's 7th, who weren't represented for a generation or two, but within living memory by a Democrat. But they are saying, we have to do something. And we are the only ones who apparently can do something. And I just tip my cap to Fred and to people who are running for the state legislature or the town board or for governor, who at this insane moment are willing to put themselves forward and do the work to say the voters deserve a choice when a out-of-control president is doing things that are so un-American, we have to do something. So whether you're Fred Clark, whether you're a candidate for the legislature, whether you're a candidate for governor, thank you for stepping up. And the least that we can do is take these folks who are running seriously, go out and hear what they have to say, listen to what their policy ideas are, ask them questions, try to change their mind if you disagree with them on a particular issue or not. That is how we come back from this.
Yeah, because again, you've got people out there that still believe in the notion of public service and who believe in the duties of the job. And frankly, when Fred Clark said when he was thinking about running before Tom Tiffany got out to run for governor, he was thinking about challenging Tom Tiffany, which is, again, no easy task to take on an incumbent. But incumbents like Tiffany and Van Orden and Stile and Weed and the others have, I mean, it is not hyperbole to say they have completely abdicated their responsibilities of oversight, of representation of their constituents' values. I mean, they have literally assigned themselves to Donald Trump's peanut gallery. And Fred Clark and others say, wait, hold on a minute. And Joe, you and I know full well that when there have been Democratic presidents and Democratic-controlled Congresses, those Congresses still felt the need to engage in oversight and in changing what their own party's president's point of view might be in terms of his policies and his priorities. And yet here on the Republican side in this era of Trumpism, it's just all acquiescence, obsequiousness. I'm trying to look for words that don't involve the words kiss and butt. But that's that. And Fred and others say, hey, maybe we can do better for representation in the 7th and other districts.
Yeah. And even if we're not assured of victory or assured of doing better, we have to try. Yeah. That's the point. We have to try. The Republican MAGA Congress is not even trying. They're not trying to lower healthcare costs that are about to go through the roof. They're not trying to do anything for our soybean farmers in northern Wisconsin who are getting hammered right now. This is every week you want to go, okay, it can't get any worse. And somehow it manages to.
Mm-hmm. They do. And again, we're getting to the point where it's going to be time for the soybean harvest and corn and everything else. And there is just literally nothing being done. And now with the government in shutdown mode, we can't even have that conversation about, bailout payments to make farmers whole for the market that they've lost. So we've talked a couple of times today about the Marquette National poll and showing Trump's approval rating dropping. And we've mentioned before that, multiple polls show by double digit margins, people understand who's at fault here. I'm just not sure how we emerge from this if Trump and Republicans are willing to do this much damage to do what, Joe? Protect health care cuts to fund tax breaks for the rich?
Well, let's remember that before we get to farmers, apparently the Trump administration thinks it's appropriate to bail out Argentina.
Right, which is
where they do have farmers who can sell soybeans right now, unlike in northern Wisconsin. It's just all so crazy and makes so little sense. How do we do it? We win elections in 2026. Full stop. Right. There's one of the old political TV shows. So, the great thing about America is you get to overthrow the government every 2 years. And 2026 needs to be a landslide of historic, epic proportions to make clear that what we're seeing out of Washington, D.C. is not who we are. I believe that's what will happen because I still believe in the American people, who are far more resilient than being able to, We've been at this for 10 years in the era of Trump, and whether it's small towns or suburban communities or, folks in the cities, people understand that this is not the answer to what ails this country, what we're seeing out of Washington, D.C. right now.
So let's get to the shutdown and the messaging behind it, which really is a game of applying pressure. And the Republican point of view is that they believe enough pressure is being applied to, so-called moderate Democrats, that enough of them will vote for what the Republicans want, which is just to continue operations, kick the can down the road with a continuing resolution and not do anything about all the massive cuts to Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. That enough Democrats will say, yep, we cry uncle, let's just carry on with the way things are. Then there's the folks who think, nope, the pressure is actually being applied to Republicans to say, hey, you're shutting down the government and you want to take away all of our, you want to take away our health care. The easiest thing for Republicans to do would be to simply do a 1 or 2 year extension of the Affordable Care Act, you know, enhanced tax credits, the subsidies that make these things affordable. Do you feel like that pressure is being better applied one way or the other to help us see how this might resolve itself?
I think Republicans are already showing signs of cracking. What we've heard out of Senate Leader John Thune's office in the last couple of days suggests that Republicans know they have a political problem here. And that is why you have to use the leverage you have. Democrats don't have much leverage, right? The American people voted for a Republican president, a Republican Senate, and a Republican House. And despite having control of everything, Democrats have a little sliver, like one iota of power. And they're saying, instead of trying to overshoot and use that little bit of power we have to get everything we want, they've picked one thing, which is the subsidies for Obamacare health plans, which without continuation, millions of Americans are going to see their healthcare costs double next year. And so Democrats are being very straightforward. Hey, great. We'll come to a deal. We just need this one thing. We need you to extend these healthcare subsidies for folks. And Republicans, they can't on day one go, okay, you're right, we'll do it. They have to drag this out. They are choosing to draw this out. But John Thune is already saying, well, we're starting to talk, you know, we're going to see about a path to extend them. So I think Democrats need to hold the line. You have to stand for something at some point. And standing for keeping people's healthcare costs from exploding next year at a time when they're paying more for everything else because Donald Trump has broken his promise to get prices down on day one is a fine place to say, this is the thing. This is where we're drawing the line.
Well, I mean, you really get to the heart of why I posed our question of the week the way that I did last Sunday morning in our newsletter. And that was to say, you know, how does this end? A was Democrats cave, which we've outlined. B is that, you know, Trump caves, which again, he's dug in really hard on this. And option C was that it's actually Republicans in Congress and Democrats in Congress, just enough of them to say, you know, let's extend these subsidies for a year or two for the Affordable Care Act. Trump vetoes the plan to try to look strong. And Republicans, actually enough of them actually vote to override a veto. And it really hurts Trump's standing. Now, again, I'm not saying it's likely, but you see why I put that option there is he's not up for election, but a whole lot of people who are next year are starting to get nervous.
Yeah, and they should be nervous.
Yeah, we're talking to Joe Zepecki here, and we'll continue the conversation, have some final news and notes about it and about politics, including Bill Berrien. We'll see what have we learned from his time in office. Again, tomorrow we'll have our week in review with some of our regular Friday guests. We'll have one more chance to win in the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along, and Mike Clemens will get us caught up with sports. We'll know by tomorrow morning when Mike visits who the Brewers will be facing on Saturday in the National League Division Series, the Cubs or the Padres, who play that deciding game later this afternoon. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
When your reputation's on the line, you don't leave anything to chance, especially your primer. Painter's Trust Kills Primers for a smooth start, strong adhesion, and serious stain-blocking power. And now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same-day or next-day delivery, or order online and pick up in-store. Kills Primers. Pro results, faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Turn things all the way up and find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, tomorrow when we have our regular Week in Review panel, that includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, but let's say you can't wait. You got to know what he's thinking about the news of the day right now. We can take care of that. In less than an hour, Jim Santel will be Jane and Greg's guest for Matt and Air on Air coming up at 9:30 this morning. And then at 10:30, J.R. Radcliffe, the Journal Sentinel sports guru, as they advertise, will join Jane, Matt and Air and Greg Bach coming up on Matt and Air on Air right at the top of the hour here across the Civic Media Radio Network. A few more minutes now with Joe Sopecki talking about the way that some of the 2026 races are already shaping up. We just got done talking about the 7th Congressional District up north. Now we get to talk about the governor's race, where we know that Tom Tiffany entered the race. Bill Berrien exited the race. The two are not related. Bill Berrien left for other reasons altogether. And Joe, you have been in the beginning of many a campaign, which means that you're familiar with the vetting process and how not fun this is when you learn something about a candidate that he didn't really volunteer in the initial screening.
Yeah, I alluded to it last week because when we visited last Thursday, the story was already out and we sort of glossed over it and just say that Bill Berrien hadn't had the best week.
Turns out listen, we were right.
we were right. His week got worse. I am sure that he is very embarrassed and wishes that he had never run for governor. And that's too bad. But I'm not going to feel particularly bad myself about someone who made the decision, the conscious choice, to, as part of putting themselves out for office, decided to villainize and demonize an entire group of people. And it turns out that that was a group of people who Berrien had shown some interest in. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, you can go look at Dan Bice's column But I don't think we need to spend all that much time on pretty ridiculous views and pretty ridiculous behavior, when all we need to understand is, if you are going to run for office, you need to be yourself. You need to be who you are. And the BS meter that voters have is pretty good. If you pretend to be something you're not, whether it's you're actually a pretty traditional mainstream conservative, which by all accounts, I think Bill Berrien actually is, but he pretended to be a MAGA extremist because he thought that was how you win power in the 21st century. And he was found out. And if you are not a far left progressive Democrat in the mold of Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you shouldn't pretend to be. You should be who you are. Voters have had enough nonsense. They want people who are authentic and credible. And that, to me, is the big takeaway. And so I'd rather spend a couple minutes talking about people who are being authentically themselves. Missy Hughes is now a Democratic candidate for governor. And her announcement video showed me who she is, mm-hmm. and backed up everything I've ever heard about her. I've never worked with her or encountered her, but what she put out and the way she's running her campaign is consistent with everything I've ever heard. Same with Fran Hong. And those two, great candidates took very different approaches with the way they announced their campaign, because they're two different people. And that's okay. And that's what the Democratic primary for governor is about, is figuring out if it's one of those visions or a different vision from a different candidate that is where we go as a party. That is democracy in action. And that is what is, the work of the next, 350 days or so until something the like August that. Primary.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole reason I bring it up is not to dance on Bill Berrien's political grave. And you said to be yourself. And I just want to add this other wrinkle to it. You don't have to be perfect. There are people who are like, well, there was a divorce and it was a little contentious, or there was this or that. That's okay. Be yourself. Nobody wants perfection. They just want you to be real. And what Berrien was doing was being hypocritical about something about him. So we're not trying to chase anybody away from running for office who feels that calling. But it was like when I was first running, I remember Russ Decker, he was the Democratic Senate leader, and he was giving me advice. He's like, yeah, you're running in northern Wisconsin. You just got to have dead animals in all your campaign literature. Everybody loves when you pose with dead animals because you're a hunter. Well, I'm not a hunter. I'm very supportive of hunting, but that wouldn't have looked like me if I'd have posed with a bunch of dead animals like I was doing something. So don't do that. Talk to guys like Joe Zepecki, before you launch your campaign. So, and I was going to get to Missy, who, again, is going to be running from the standpoint of, I've worked with business. I know about job development. I can make that those kinds of things happen. A Main Street point of view. The main question is whether she has enough time to build up name ID. She may have great positions and a great record. But again, can she fundraise? She's proven that in the first few days. So I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying that the question is, will she be able to cut through the noise, just like Sarah Rodriguez and others who may not be as well known as, legislators like Kelda Royce or a county executive like David Crawley?
Yeah, well, listen, I don't think any of the current candidates for Democrat have the name ID you want on election day, mm-hmm. right? We have not seen, like, Josh Call or Mandela Barnes would each enter the race if they did with more name ID than any of the other candidates. And that's okay. Like that, the American people, the people of Wisconsin are crying out for something different, for change. And so getting to know someone through the course of a campaign, or getting to know a lot of candidates in the case of the Democratic field, that's how this is supposed to work.
Yeah. And I think we'll see that not only in the ads and the videos to social media and everything, but eventually we'll get to these candidate forums. We'll get a month for more interviews and learn a lot more about the options that are out there. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much as always. Have a great start to your weekend.
Go Brewers.
There you go. We got a big series coming up. We just don't know with who, but we will by the time we get together again tomorrow morning. So we hope you enjoy the rest of your Thursday here. Enjoy watching who we find out the Brewers will be playing, and we'll be talking all about that and more Friday morning, 6 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you then.
is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Police in the UK have just confirmed the attacker who plowed into a crowd outside a synagogue in Manchester this Yom Kippur, killing two people and critically injuring three others, is dead. This delivery driver saw it happening.
A couple of warnings. He didn't listen, so they opened fire. He went down on the floor, and then he started getting back up, and then they shot him again.
Investigators had been checking to see if the suspect was carrying an explosive.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Prime Minister Keir Starmer has ordered extra police to patrol synagogues across the UK after today's attack. He left an EU summit early to fly back to the UK, where he'll chair a meeting of his emergency committee.
This couple lives near the synagogue.
I'm just very worried. Generally, I'm just very worried about the whole community at the moment. You know,
we just feel very, very vulnerable.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.